Welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. I hope you all enjoyed our mini-series on the trends at the brigade and below from each of the CTCs, where we got to see how units operate in a variety of different environments. It was our first mini-series, and today we're going to be kicking off another mini-series for the month that focuses on a variety of different innovations and developments within the Army Sustainment Enterprise, or ASE, from the Headquarters Department of the Army G4 office. I'm so excited to be bringing you all these topics, and my guests are just as thrilled to highlight how the G4 is aligned with the CSA's focus area of continuous transformation by providing operational efficiency to the warfighter. And to provide an insight into the upcoming episodes, here's a message from Lieutenant General Michelle Donahue.
Hello, I'm Lieutenant General Michelle Donahue, Deputy Chief of Staff, Headquarters Department of the Army G4. Welcome to a special mini-series on the Logstat podcast. Over the next four episodes, we will take you inside the continuous transformation of the Army Sustainment Enterprise. We are entering a new era of global sustainment, one that requires us to be more agile, adaptive, and anticipatory to meet the challenges of a complex world. This series will explore the innovative strategies we are implementing with Army Materiel Command to project and sustain the force, ensuring our warfighters have what they need wherever they are in the world. First, we'll discuss the evolution of our Army food program. You will hear how we are moving away from traditional dining facilities of the past and launching modern, innovative campus-style dining venues to provide soldiers and their families with higher quality, greater variety, and flexible dining options to better fuel the force. Next, we'll tackle the dreaded task of property book inventories. We will introduce you to Paraline, a new mobile app designed to revolutionize property accountability. You'll learn how units can now conduct inventories with a handheld device, replacing paper binders, and giving commanders back valuable time for training. Following that, we'll address personal equipment with the Soldier Equipment Asset Management System, or SEAM. This new digital tool gives every soldier total visibility of their individual clothing record, complete with pictures and details, making personal inventories and SIF transactions easier and more efficient than ever before. Finally, we will broaden our scope to look at a new era of global sustainment. We'll explore the Total Army Power Projection on Equipment framework to see how we are revolutionizing our global posture and pre-positioned stocks. We'll also navigate the critical world of Army watercraft and learn how a new maintenance contract allows us to fix forward, keeping our vessels in the fight. Join us as we chart the course for the future of Army logistics. This will defend.
As you can hear, we have some very exciting topics coming your way. To start us off, today we're going to fill not just your mind with some thrilling new developments, but more importantly, we're going to discuss how your stomachs and bodies are going to be fueled better than they ever have before. Gone are the days of only getting one piece of protein or having to choose between a very limited set of options. The Army has listened to your concerns and has now modernized their Army food program strategy and revolutionized their dining facilities, which will now be transitioning into campus-style dining venues, CSDV. We have so much to get into today, and I won't leave you starving. So, to tell us about all these new innovations and strategy, I have here with me today Colonel Adam Seibel, who is the Division Chief Troop Support, HQDA G4. Colonel Seibel was commissioned in 2002 from Providence College with a bachelor's degree in political science as an engineer. He has served at Fort Stewart, Joint Base McGee-Dix, Lakehurst, Naval Air Station, Willow Grove, PA, the 650th Regional Support Group, Las Vegas, Nevada, and the Pentagon with deployments to Iraq and Kuwait. He holds a master's degree in strategic studies from the Army War College and a master's in organizational management from the University of Phoenix. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Garrett. Happy to be here. Thanks for doing what you do. I think this is a great forum to get the message out to soldiers. And I will do my best, to kind of give you some insight into what the Army's doing.
So I know there's been some messaging put out, about what this all is. So before we even get into everything, I want to talk about what really has been driving all the changes with the Army food program and the installation dining facilities? Like, why is it so important to make these changes for the warfighter?
So absolutely. So I think, you know, it's kind of a multi-pronged answer. I think the first thing is the acknowledgement that the Army has been feeding soldiers in an antiquated way that probably worked in 1950. You know, you walked into a dining facility and nobody got excited about eating there. And quite honestly, you know, the food quality wasn't where it needed to be. The ambiance wasn't where it needed to be. And the experience just wasn't up to, you know, what current day folks expect. And you know, we know our soldiers are, you know, the majority of our soldiers are 18 to 24 year old, you know, I'll say young adults, young professionals. And if those individuals were at a college campus today, they would be eating way differently than they're eating at a dining facility. So I think that's one, right? The antiquated way that we were feeding. Two, the Army decided that it was going to reduce the 92 Gulf population across the force. And it was going to basically reposition or repurpose, you know, assets and personnel in other areas that are more like needed, let's say. And then the existing 92 Gulfs were going to basically do their mission essential task, and they were going to do field feeding, which is what they're supposed to do. So obviously preparing for large-scale combat operations and feeding soldiers deployed rather than feeding in a garrison environment, which quite honestly, they're not trained to do. And then third, I'll say, you know, the Army had a bunch of screw-ups, quite honestly. You know, Fort Hood, I don't even know, maybe like 2 years ago, maybe a little less than 2 years now, was a pretty substantial, you know, misfire for the Army, as far as, you know, dining facility closings, food access, food quality, leading to some senior leaders testifying in front of Congress. And so something that had always been bad, had like a watershed moment at Fort Hood. And then it was a catalyst to, hey, the Army, like, you must fix this. And then the focus occurred. And I'll belabor the point a little more, and I'll throw a fourth thing in. I think the leadership at the time and the leadership now finally got it, right? These were individuals that were like, okay, I understand the problem. We need to become current. We need to fix this. Let's not just be business as usual with the answer of this is the way we always did it.
So that's great, because you're taking all this. I mean, there's a lot of feedback that came from the troops out there saying, hey, we want something better. Kind of like what I was talking about in the intro is like, you go into a dining facility or a defect and just be like, okay, I get my one piece of food. And you know, all these people would see, you know, the pictures posted, like, this is the quality of food we're getting. So it's good that the Army has listened to that feedback, and now we're taking that step forward and be able to create a better program to feed and fuel our troops. And then when it comes to the Army food program itself, like, really, what is it, and what is it going to do outside of just, before we get into the campus style dining facilities?
Sure. So, you know, I think the Army food program was always, in the past, you know, you'd say, let's say Army food program. And what did that mean? It was a decentralized, you know, thing that was managed. Every installation did it differently. You know, you had food service advisors at different installations. You had G4s, you had brigade commanders, you had garrison commanders. You had all these folks involved, and everybody did something differently. You know, commanders would rotate in and they would say, hey, I'm going to invest some money into this dining facility. They would leave, you know, something that got better would then potentially get worse again. And really, the Army food program was just something that was in name only. And then, you know, now the Army food program is something that is not only reported up to the chief of staff of the Army and the secretary of the Army, it is something that is governed. There's a governance structure now. So you have the Army Material Command commander. So you have Lieutenant General Chris Mohan in charge. You have Lieutenant General Michelle Donahue, the Army G4. You have, Major General Sean Davis down at CASCOM. You have Lieutenant General Gavin Lawrence, the Deputy Commanding General at Army Material Command. And all these folks are part of an official governance structure. And so that is something the Army never had previously. So there's not only is there oversight and direction, but there's actual direct accountability from Army senior leaders all the way, up to the secretary level.
So what's great to be able to see, like now we have this better structure in place, as we talked about before, on getting this, the concept of food going forward in the right direction. So with this new, with this command structure and the way this, the Army food program is now, how did the Army use all this to develop its nutrition and dietary requirements now?
So I think, that is something that is still evolving, right? And I'm going to kind of like maybe digress a little bit here and kind of take you on like the journey of how this occurred. So a couple of the barriers that we had to get over were some things that we had put into, let's say, policy. And I'll be careful to say what's policy and what's law, right? So things that we were able to change on our own policy-wise. So there were things that the Army and the DOD had put into effect, years ago that might have made sense, back then. And I think the intent was always good, right? We wanted certain nutritional requirements. We wanted certain, dietary or ingredient requirements. And we made that uber restrictive. And what we did was we had our Army cooks cooking basically off prescriptive recipes. So think of yourself as like opening a cookbook, right? You take a recipe and you just read it verbatim. And, half a teaspoon of this, tablespoon of that, quarter cup of this. And there was no deviation. And I think folks that are in the culinary industry are cooks. And myself, I'm very big into food. I cook all the time. I have family in the restaurant business, right? When you cook because when you know how to cook, you don't measure everything. But the Army was measuring everything, right? Now, if you're baking, you measure everything. But if you're cooking, you don't always measure everything. So the Army was doing that. And making it a mandatory. When we evolved into this new campus-style dining initiative and we kind of touched industry said, hey, listen, we've been, we've had nutritional requirements baked in, no pun intended, but like baked into like the way we feed from the get-go. We don't need to use prescriptive recipes. All our recipes meet nutritional standards. So what the Army did was they got relief from the very stringent nutritional requirements. And what they said was, as long as you're, within this left limit and this right limit, we are basically going to open the aperture on what and how you can cook. So what does that do for the soldier? Well, go down to 42 Bistro at Fort Hood or Victory Fresh at Lee, and you see the basically variety of choices and change that you get now versus kind of the old model.
Yeah, and I've had the opportunity myself to go check out the Victory Fresh here at Fort Lee, and I would say, wow, what an amazing job your team, just everyone has done in establishing that location and just be able to walk in and have so many different options. I mean, first of all, I mean, it's especially for us as a permanent party, be able to have a good place to eat again on post was awesome. I mean, the price was amazing. I mean, I paid what, $7.25. So I was like, you can't beat that in the market, right? Like for what you get for that price, be able to get there. The day that I went, I had some pizza there and it was very delicious pizza. Great flavor with it. And you're getting your drink with that. Like I had two slices of pizza, a drink, you get a dessert, a side, like it's well worth what you pay for it. And it was just the people there working, the team was amazing. So friendly to see the passion they had for their job there. And just so much better than like going to previous, as you talked about, sort of dive facilities was much more of an antiquated. You walk in, it's like school cafeteria, this is what you're getting. Where now you actually have your choice to fuel your body in the means that you want to. So I definitely see the other one. I'd love to go see the one down at Fort Hood, the 42 Bistro. But the Victory Fresh, I was highly impressed with it.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's awesome to hear feedback, right? That's what we want. I mean, I don't know, Garrett, I don't know how old you are, right? But I mean, you know, where you eat on your off time, listen, everybody eats different, right? But we know, we sent our Army food teams across the entire Army, right? They visited every installation in the Army. And the average 18 to 24 year old, we'll say barrack soldier, the majority of food ordering that they do, whether they use Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, whatever, is Chipotle or Chipotle-like. Okay, that's what these folks want. So that doesn't mean they're only eating Chipotle, right? But if you go into a 42 Bistro or you go into a Victory Fresh, this is what these folks are spending their money on in their off time, right? So why don't we feed them like that during their on time? It just makes complete sense. So to hear you say, hey, I went in there, you know, they made my pizza to order. I got of this, I got of that, and I really enjoyed it. The ambiance was good. The staff was good. The price was right. I wanted to go back. I mean, any restaurant owner in America, that's what they want, right? That's what you're going to leave. Because if you don't walk out with that experience, you're not telling your friends, you're not telling your family, and you're certainly not going to be a return customer. So I think the Army finally realized, hey, listen, we don't do this well, but there are people that do, and we're going to have them now do it for us. And I think that's the secret, you know, to success.
Exactly. I mean, there's no reason for us to reinvent the wheel. Like the success strategy, quote unquote, like that's out there, and it's good that you're taking the feedback and just seeing, hey, this is what the soldiers are, you know, this is what they're going to eat. This is what they're looking for. And as I say, like you can't beat the price for what you get, like just anywhere you go. So highly want people to go out there. If you're close to Fort Lee or something, either go check out Victory Fresh, or if you're down by Fort Hood, definitely go check out 42 Bistro, because these are amazing things that the Army has done for us. And then, so I know you mentioned this at the beginning, we were talking about the structure, but sure. What kind of influence will the installation and senior commanders have now on food service?
So I'll always, you know, I think no matter what the question is, right, I'll always say senior commanders will always have, I'll say, appropriate influence. I think the thing that we have to realize and is that we are good at a lot of things, right? But you know, when I need an electrician, I don't call a pharmacist. So, you know, yes, the senior commander is going to understand their installation. They're going to understand their population. They're going to understand the needs of their soldiers, their rotation schedule, deployments, you know, the demographic, all of that, right? But that doesn't mean that senior commander is like a culinary professional that knows how to run a food ecosystem. So I think there will be influence in where that commander has skill and where appropriate. But I will tell you, the Army has a decided path that it's going on to feed soldiers. And I don't care who the senior commander is out there, I don't think any of them are getting in the way of it. And I don't say that in a, you know, in a contentious manner. What I mean is this has been decided all the way from the top, right? So when I briefed about 2 years ago, I briefed this at the 4-star forum at the Pentagon. And, you know, General George basically told all the 4-stars, and I say gentlemen because at the time, you know, all gentlemen, right? So he said, hey, gentlemen, this is where the Army's going. You all are getting on board. And then, you know, I think about a week or two later, we briefed the secretary. At that time, it was Secretary Warmuth. And, you know, same messaging. And I could tell you, I know Secretary Driscoll feels the exact same way. So, yes, senior commanders have influence. But as far as, like, are we doing this or are we not? The answer is we're doing it. One caveat, though, as I talk about this. I just want to make sure that folks understand that there is a level of patience that is going to have to be, you know, accepted, because this is going to take a while. You know, we've opened our first pilot location at Fort Hood. I think the feedback's been great so far. But, you know, we want to open up a lot more, and it's going to take time. So there are some soldiers that are going to be able to experience this immediately. And then there are some soldiers that are going to be angry, right? And they're going to say, we haven't gotten it yet. It's never coming to us. The Army always says they're going to do this. They're going to do that. You know, what a load of, you know, BS. But honestly, it's coming. They just have to be patient, and they just have to understand that we can't just do this all in, like, you know, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day.
Great things take time, and that's what we have to realize. And especially for those who've been in the Army for more than a few days, realize things take time. We want to get it right.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Garrett. Everything that the Army and the government does is slower, right? So, and there's reasons for that, right? But this isn't like, you know, if you and I were opening up a restaurant on the outside, we could probably open it way faster. But it's going to happen, and, you know, we just need to be patient, and and you're correct. We want to do it right, because we've been doing it wrong for so long, that we want to get this right. So I think, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to be deliberate about it. We're doing our due diligence. We're letting industry kind of lead us with their experience and kind of their standards. And you know, we're kind of going to go from there.
Exactly. And then kind of like turn a little bit. When I was like, for instance, when I was in Alaska, like I personally saw the additions of kiosks. They started bringing kiosks into some of the barracks, as well as meal prep services. I know some places even have food trucks now. So can you walk us through like these different other dining options and how this all ties into these new, the way forward that we're going?
Sure. So I think a little different, right? Before we went after the campus style dining, and we turned to our professional industry partners at this point, you know, doing the pilot, the Compass Group is going to do the first five. What we were doing organically is we were trying to close the gap on time and distance and accessibility for food. And so the Army created the kiosk, the Army created the food truck. And I say, you know, when I say create, I don't mean create. Obviously, we know they existed previously. You've seen them in airports. You know, you've seen them obviously in other locations. But those were 92 Gulf Run facilities. And the Army was the one that was funding them. That wasn't, you know, some outside venture. That wasn't industry touching it. That was us just saying, hey, listen, where do soldiers need more food access? Where do soldiers need it when, you know, dining facility hours are limited, dining facilities are closed? And so what we did was we tried to close the gap with kiosks and food trucks. Now, I think as we went on this like journey, and I won't say I think, I know, as we went on this journey of food, we realized those are great for certain things, but they're not the answer. Right. Nobody wants to eat out of a kiosk, you know, four or five meals a week, let alone, you know, probably 2 days in a row on the weekend. Right. You know, you're getting, there's sushi, there's sandwiches, there's, you know, yogurt, there's shakes, whatever, but it's all prepackaged stuff, and the quality is good, but it's not the same as having a real meal experience. And then the food truck was really just a mobile kitchen where we were serving meals again to close, you know, time and distance. So I think it's a good addition or an additive to something, but it's not the real solution. And as you see the campus style dining expand, I think you're going to see the role of like a kiosk and potentially food truck change. If you've been to a current college campus, and I've been to a bunch as we kind of went on this journey, what you'll see is like nodes of feeding. So you might have a main building, or two, and then you'll have nodes of feeding across the whole campus. In some cases, at some college campuses, covering up to 22 hours a day of actually made to order food. So like think of like pop-ups or what have you, that you see kind of in the civilian world. They have those kind of things on college campuses now. I think that's where we want to get as the Army. So what we know is a kiosk today is probably, you know, not the kiosk of tomorrow.
Okay. And I know, you know, every place is different. Like, for instance, when I was at Fort Wainwright, the kiosk at that location made sense because it was one dining facility, the Warrior Restaurant, and then a lot of the barracks were on the other side across the airfield. So when it's like negative 40 out, if you don't want to run over to the Warrior Restaurant, it's easy having to run down and grab this out of the DFAC for the day. So I can see where some places it makes sense. So, but then as you're talking, are these going to go away completely? Or are they going to be then modified as we go forward?
I don't think we know yet. I don't think kiosks are going to go away completely. I think kiosks are going to change. And I don't want to get ahead of myself and say, hey, kiosks are going to be run by, you know, the commercial industry partner. But I think there is a possibility that something like a kiosk, or like I said, a node or multiple nodes could be run by our industry partners in the future.
Yeah. And that's good, because I know that there'll be some of the questions, because that's what a lot of people, when they hear this conversation talking about all these changes, that's what they're most recognizable with, is seeing, oh, I've seen a food truck, I've seen the kiosk. So, or like even the meal prep services, is that still going to be going?
Well, I mean, I think what they're saying is, right, I've seen a kiosk, I've seen a food truck, I've seen meal prep, but really, what is it? I mean, I'm getting the same Army dining facility food just prepackaged, or I'm getting it out of a food truck. I mean, that's going to completely change, right? You're not going to see the traditional 92 Golf Run menu or food wherever it is. I mean, now go to 42 Bistro at Hood and you want to get food to go, you can. But it's going to be like you're going to see on a modern day college campus, food to go, right? It's not going to be like someone is seeing it and, you know, you name dining facility wherever it is. You know, even go to the Fort Myer one up here and they have some grab and go. But that's still a 92 Golf Run, you know, military dining facility, completely different than what you're seeing down at Fort Hood and what we're going to see in the future.
So that's a perfect way to transition to the rest of this conversation on really that campus style dining venues that we've been talking about. Like, can you tell us, the audience, more about that? And I know we've been alluding to it, but more on what these food options are going to look like and really how it's going to compare to what they're used to.
Sure. So as we use the word campus style dining, right now it's only one, right? So at Fort Hood, there's one. There's going to be more. There's going to be more on Fort Hood as we look at these Army installations, and we award contracts to industry partners. We are not going to be prescriptive of how many they open on an installation. They're going to come to us and say, hey, this is how we can cover time and distance, you know, with hours of operation, with to-go services, with potential delivery, and you know, similar, like I'll keep going back to it, like similar to a large college campus, because this is what these industry professionals do. I mean, Compass Group that won the first award, right? They feed at major universities, they feed at sports venues, they feed Division I athletes. So this is not something that they don't know how to do. And there's plenty of other industry partners out there that do this as well. Sodexo, you know, Aramark, you know, you name it. There's a ton of folks in the food space that do this. But really, the population that it's meant to serve initially is our barrack soldier population. So our soldiers, you know, the average population 18 to 24 that reside in barracks are essential station messing personnel. The ones that are provided, I always say room and board, because we want to make this, you know, so the rest of the world understands it, or whoever listens to this podcast, right? If I get room and board, right, that means you give me a place to live and you give me a place to eat. And that's what the Army does for the barrack soldier. Previously, our utilization rate across the Army was 20% or less of going to dining facilities. Now these folks, you know, if you're at Fort Hood and you're a barrack soldier, enlisted soldier, you go over to enlisted soldier, I say under the rank of, like, you know, make sure that enlisted soldier is a barrack soldier, right? Not just any enlisted soldier. They go over to the 42 Bistro, and they can basically, if they wanted to, use all their entitlement for the day at one time and basically pick up their three meals and get them to go, they can. If they want to go in there and they want to get a smoothie, let's say they get a smoothie, they check out, 42 Bistro gives them a receipt, right? They're able to look on their receipt to see how much they have left for the day to spend. And then they can go back and they could continue to use up until they basically meet that balance. So I would actually encourage everybody that listens to your podcast, I encourage yourself, Garrett, to just look at the soft opening, look at the opening that they had last week, read some of the articles that came out of it. They gave some really good examples of like what Soldiers are able to get versus what they previously were able to get at an Army dining facility. And it's pretty remarkable. Probably similar to like the experience that you had down at Victory Fresh. Soldiers are going to have that experience at 42 Bistro, probably at scale, because the options at 42 Bistro are more than what you saw at Victory Fresh.
That's awesome. Because I know I saw so many options myself when that just said Victory Fresh. I know, and of course, that's smaller in comparison to what 42 Bistro is. So it makes me excited to just, go down there and check that out at some point. And you talked about, so it's at 42 Bistro, this campus-style dining venue is at Fort Hood. So where are some of the other locations going to be? I know you mentioned there's going to be five.
Yeah, so Bragg, Hood, Drum, Carson. So we're gonna open another one at Hood, and then we're going to move on to some of the other locations. And then beyond that, those initial five, those five are our pilot locations, kind of to let us know, give us feedback, right? Hey, are we doing this right? What can we do better? Give industry feedback, see what utilization is, do all the lessons learned. We also have reporting requirements that we have to report up to OSW. We have to report up to our own internal Army staff and secretariat. And then another request for RF for proposal went out Monday night, and that's going to be the second iteration of campus style dining. So there's no guarantee that Compass Group is going to win that one. We solicited it out to industry, and we'll see who comes back, to us and who's chosen through the appropriate process. And then we will continue to roll this out across the Army and open multiple locations on installations, through our CONUS locations.
Okay, so there's more on the way. So definitely excited about that.
More, I know as you more said, on, more on the way.
And just to confirm, who has access to all these?
So anyone, right? Anyone. So Barrack Soldiers, Essential Station Messing Soldiers, right? That they can go there, use their meal entitlement just like they had at a previous dining facility. You, me, anyone else on the installation wants to be a cash payer, family member wants to go there, be a cash payer, they can go there as well. So there's no restriction. Someone obviously can't walk up the street and, come through the gate. But, anyone that's on the installation that is allowed to be on the installation that has proper credentialing, go in there. They can eat just like you could eat at a regular restaurant. They will pay a different rate, but the rate is super competitive, just kind of like what you said that you saw down at Fort Lee. And really, that's the goal. So, we don't just want soldiers that are on a meal entitlement to be like, hey, this is where we eat. We want to make it so good that, when you break out of work at whatever time you break out of, Garrett, that you're like, you know what? I want to go eat there, right? I'm not, instead of driving off the installation to, or going to a food court or bringing your meal from, your food from home, you're like, hey, 42 Bistro was so good, I'm going to go eat there, 4 days a week.
And you're perfectly right. Like for us, like maybe my wife, we cook just like, I know you're talking about cooking. We cook a lot. And always cooking fresh meat, especially for our lunches. But now I'm just glad that I had this other option now. So if there's a day where I'm not able to cook or bring leftovers for lunch, or like, let me mix it up and eat there, I have a place now I can go to eat instead of like, oh, I guess I'll try some fast food place. But now I actually have a good, healthy option that's completely affordable. You get such a great value for your money. So now I have this I can go to now. So, which is great, especially for Fort Lee, where we didn't have that even before because of the nature of being a training installation.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And let's think about it from a soldier's perspective, right? And I spoke on a panel at AUSA, I think a year plus ago, and there was a Reddit thread afterward that flamed me pretty good. And it was actually good. I love it. I read all the feedback. I'm like, this is awesome. But the one thing I took away from it is and it was accurate. There's a difference about being a colonel and being, a soldier in a unit that is on a schedule that a first sergeant, a platoon sergeant, a company commander is monitoring and managing, right? I can go have lunch pretty much anywhere that I want, when I want. But a young soldier can't necessarily. So for these soldiers to be like, oh yeah, they're going to drive off post at 11 and they're going to go here and they're going to go there. I mean, that's like a pipe dream. And I mean, I lived that life for a long time. And I think that's the other thing that the soldiers need to remember. The leadership up here, a lot of us, we've all lived that life, right? I spent 9 years in a brigade combat team, right? I've eaten at a lot of dining facilities. I've been to the field a ton. I understand restrictive time. That was a time in my career. That's not the current time in my career. So I think the thing is, we need to realize that these soldiers are not able to do all those things. So we need to give them, one, what they deserve, and two, something that they have access to. So having that, 42 Bistro or that Victory Fresh where they can go and get all that is what they need. They don't have 2 hours to drive off post and go eat wherever they want. And also financially, we need to make it make sense, right? We want our soldiers to be good stewards of the profession. We want them to be financially responsible. We want them to do all the right things, so we give them access to that and make it easy for them, not make it challenging.
I think that was the key to the success of this whole thing is giving those soldiers that flexibility that but there's better options, and we're going to continue to see these initiatives grow and really fuel soldiers across our force. So is there any other initiatives or pilot programs that we missed today or anything else that you wanted to highlight to the community?
No, I think not really, Garrett. I think the thing is just be patient, right? Understand that the Army's doing its best to get this right. Leadership cares. This has lots of attention. I will tell you, and I will be fully transparent, right? I run a division within the G4 that has the largest portfolio in the G4. And 80% of my time is taken up by the Army Food Program. And that's how much I think the Army cares. That's how important this is. And, we're doing everything we can to get it right. And we're going to have some missteps here. But the whole intent of the pilot and us to really collect data and look at this is for us to get it right going forward.
Well, there it is. Just recognize out to the community, you see these campus style dining venues come to installation, hey, send up that feedback, because you see he has a huge team out there right now, and it's a big focus on that. So let's continue to refine that. And on that, what advice do you have for the stamming community as we close out then?
So I think, and this has nothing to do with food, right? So my biggest advice to the stamming community writ large, and I see this all the time, is, I spent my first 8-9 years in the Army as a combat arms officer. And I think sustainers need to understand and better understand the operational need of logistics. And what I mean by that is they need to be operational logisticians. They need to know who their customer is. They need to almost know their customer better than they need to know themselves. They need to be deliberate. They need to be precise. But above all, they need to be fast. And they also have to be accurate. And what I see a lot of sustainers do is they get caught up in the process. And they're slow sometimes to make decisions. And I think as you look at the world right now, right? Look at what's happening currently. Look at Ukraine. Look at Europe. Look at the Pacific. All of it doesn't move without logistics. So I think sustainers need to realize how important they are, but at the same time, they need to be deliberate And they need to understand who their customer is. And I think if they do that and they focus that way, you know, they will always be successful. And they also have to have a seat at the table at all times. I don't care who's there, the sustainment community, including medical, including administration, they need a seat at the table.
And thank you for that wisdom, sir. And I think that's very true. Like, get out there. Like, we need to have that seat at the table because we are a part of every operation. Like, the sustainment community is so vital for the success of any operation. And today you've really, truly filled our plates with so much information today. But like me, I know there will be people out there wanting seconds and more information. So where can people find you if they have any additional follow-up questions on this?
So I'm in the global. You know, my last name is Seibel, S-E-I-B-E-L. I'm the only one. I'm the only Adam. I will be available, you know, till early fall. I'm retiring next January. I have a LinkedIn profile. I have some limited social media. I encourage, you know, anyone that wants to reach out for, you know, one, to connect, two, for advice, you know, or three, for any just, you know, some good feedback. Please don't hesitate to reach out. And the caveat there is keep everything professional, and in turn, you'll get my time and you'll get, you know, professional answers back.
Well, thank you for that, sir. And well, you've made me very hungry with all this talk about food, and I'm very excited to try out, you know, more of these campus style dining venues myself. Like I said, I had a great time at Victory Fresh. Look forward to be able to try out 42 Bistro and all the future ones. They're going to revolutionize how we feed and fuel our soldiers. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and provide such an informative and delicious information to the community.
You got it, Garrett. Glad to do it.
So, folks, we talked a lot about food today and the changes that are occurring. So go check out these campus-style dining venues when they hit your installation. As today's episode proves, your feedback matters and it can make all the difference. Thus, continue to send it up. Additionally, be sure to stay tuned as we continue to explore a variety of other initiatives from the HQDA G4 that will increase the lethality of every sustainment soldier out there. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.